You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
I have friends. I definitely have friends.
Oh, yeah. I have friends. I definitely have friends. Objectively, I can say that I have all the friends.
I have friends. I definitely have friends. Friends, friends, friendly friends. Time to meet my friends.
Angela.
Shannon.
Ellen.
Jim.
We have friends. We definitely have friends. No one can say that we do not have friends. We have friends. We definitely have friends. Friends, friends, friendly friends. We have all the friends.
Welcome again to the Crazy Ex-Girlfriends podcast. We are starting up our recaps of season 2. Yay! Yes, we will. And I'm Moosh. I didn't get to go on that intro song because we've invited Ellen, one of our friends and an engineer here at Podcast Detroit, to just kind of sit in on the intro and the fun stuff.
Watcher of the show.
Watcher of the show.
Except for season 2.
How far did you get? Because I know there was a point when we were talking, you stopped because you weren't feeling it.
No, I was feeling it, but I was feeling it way too hard. It made me question. Because I think I see myself in all of the characters, and they were all really shitty in that episode. And I'm like, I got to reevaluate myself before I face
which
with
episode
this
again. Is that?
I think it was probably the bus one.
Okay.
No, it was post. No, it's the one with the Rock. And then Josh. No.
Wait,
oh, no.
It was the Rock.
It was and I loved all the 80s glam songs, but I hated how Josh figured out her. He's like, I'm really creeped out. I gotta go.
Mm. Well, that's all on Scott,
and I would totally like do that to a guy.
You'd have a friend throw a rock through his window?
Yes. Yeah.
Through my window? Or through your window.
To save her marriage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it was to save her marriage and to go back and fix a text message that went wrong.
To save the lie.
To save a lie.
Yeah, it was more of that was the unintended consequence was the
was saving marriage. Yeah. Oops, I did it again. I saved you and your vows.
But to save a lie, oh hell yeah, I would.
To save a lie,
I know I'm pretty shallow and horrible deep down inside, and the show's made me realize that.
I think all of us.
Yeah, raise your hand if you're shallow and horrible.
I didn't raise my hand because I put on a front. Oh. And that's why I'm not likable.
Which is exactly why we brought you here.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No. Because we just get tired of us beating our own selves up, so we have to bring in new voices every now and then.
This was a trap.
It was a very good trap. Season 2 is it's kind of serious, like right out of the bat, because up until this point it was a sitcom, and then they recap it like a sitcom, which I actually have a clip. I think we're just going to play that through to get us on the same page.
What, we're no longer a sitcom?
I feel like we're not. Like, let's listen to this recap.
Okay.
Audio only, because that's the other thing, too. You listen to it, you watch it, and you're like, oh, this is still fun and bright and happy. And then...
It's because of the lighting, isn't it?
It's beautiful lighting. Beautiful photography, but... This is everything.
It's because of the beautiful faces, isn't it?
This is everything that brought us to the first episode of season 2, which Shannon is then going to recap.
I am?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you called dibs on it.
I did.
Okay. So, yeah, this is what brings us to... the new season.
Previously on Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Whoever this Josh Chan is, you're obsessed with it.
So you're saying that I moved here from New York and I left behind a job that would have paid me $545,000 a year for a guy I dated for 2 months when I was 16 at a summer camp. Here's what happened. I was in New York. I ran into Josh. He made me feel warm inside, like glitter was exploding inside me. Then I moved here. I did not move here because of Josh, because that would be crazy, and I am not crazy.
I'm so happy that you're in town, and I don't think you're crazy at all.
I love him so much.
Do you love her?
No.
Greg, listen to me. You're not second choice. I promise.
He is Josh's best friend, okay? And if you sleep with Josh's best friend, that ruins any possibility for when you finally come to your senses and realize that you are meant for Josh.
You're sleeping with Rebecca all the time, a lot.
It's Greg. It's Greg. You're sleeping with Greg?
I care about you a lot.
We have fun together, but let's not, like, plan out our future.
Wait, what?
Rebecca, Valencia, and I are done. Come with me. No matter what I do, I feel you with me.
Can I tell you something? I moved
moved here for you.
This is our moment, Justin.
I'm so excited that our love story can finally begin.
That's sparkly glitter you just threw on us.
I was miming a fanny pack of glitter. And then I opened it and exploded it.
As her voice breaks and things get sparkly and crazy.
You know, I do like how much this show talks about glitter. Mm-hmm. You know, they talk about glitter a lot.
I really came up with the best metaphor, too, for, like, unhealthy thinking patterns.
That glitter exploded?
Yeah.
That is an unhealthy thinking pattern. It just sticks with you forever, mm-hmm. and you find it on your face and
yeah.
on your clothes and your cat, and all of a sudden you move, and it follows you.
Still there. Glitter from 10 years ago is still following you.
Just like your past.
And still shiny and nice.
Aw, kind of. The past is like glitter. It really just kind of... Everyone's looking at me like I'm going to say something deep.
Yeah.
But is I can't handle that pressure.
True? Can you... I don't know.
Can you what? Escape?
I can never escape my high school self.
I think, well, I think to an extent we always have our high school selves with us. It's a sad truth, but like just go to your high school reunion and find yourself because you will. Like, I went to my 10-year high school reunion, and immediately I became that angsty teenager that I was in high school, and I was like, I was supposed to show you guys how much I've grown! And instead, I was just taken right back to who I was.
Aww.
It was horrible.
I didn't go to one, because my 10-year was planned, and it was the lamest plan of all time. It was a, like, Best Western off of the expressway. Cash bar. And everyone was like, no.
Guys,
and
it's like after prom.
Yeah, it was so bad. Oh, no. And no one bought tickets, and they canceled it. And the only person to get mad was the only, well, maybe not the only person, but one of the people that's a doctor now. So she had, like, months in advance bought a ticket to come visit us for the 10-year reunion to, like, show off her new doctor persona.
Guys, I got a lab coat. It says my name on it. It's embroidered.
And then
isn't it
all
great? I got to pick the color. I picked a blue. It's blue embroidered.
All the screw-ups
ruined
it.
Everyone else picked red, but I got blue. I thought millennials were killing the class reunion.
Oh, we did. We what killed else? It.
Oh, God. I'm just going to shut up.
No, not even. You must speak.
Yeah, before you run off and do your job.
I am a millennial. We got to talk about the show. What am
no,
I doing?
No, we don't.
No, we don't. We'll get there eventually. We find our way around. It's like
that's like the least important part of any podcast.
We
is
talk
the actual
about the,
topic.
The show through our own like experiences that we relate.
Each of us holds a piece of the character within us.
Yes.
So by speaking at all, we are speaking the show.
This is the summary of season 2.
We don't even know season 3, but I'm sure it's part of that too.
Probably.
We got it all.
I skipped high school reunions too because I didn't want to have to go in there and encounter who I was when I was that young.
It's a nice little look in the mirror, though.
No.
I want to redo. I'm like, please have a 20-year reunion. I need to show you that I've actually changed and grown as a person.
Yeah. Yeah. I
need more time to practice.
Yeah. Oh, the insecurities.
Oh, they're still there.
And then immediately you walk in, you're like, oh, there's the popular kids.
Yeah. The whole thing would have been.
Like, maybe just me.
I'm more terrified of the successful... But also, but wait a minute. All the popular people went on to become successful people. There's
they
a stereotype.
There was a lie.
Well,
there's
first
a stereotype.
Of all, the generalizations that we're speaking in probably don't hold up, or, you know, in a blanket, like, you know, kind of way scenario, whatever.
You remember when you were a kid, did you ever get that message that, like, oh, don't worry about all these, like, jocks and stuff like that because they peaked in high school and then you see them now and you're like, you totally didn't peak.
Yeah, well, they're the ones who do come out to be the doctor.
I know.
No, the thing is, like,
it's all a lie.
But it's all subjective. It's not, you can't say that they all did this or they all did that. There's no generalization you can speak in that covers an entire group of, you know, people that were interpreted a certain way when they were a teen.
Yeah, I mean, like, how many of your high schoolers are on this podcast?
Say anyone? I certainly. I mean, I guess on paper, I could sound pretty cool to, like, if given like just enough information to the right people from high school, I would sound pretty cool. But they don't know any of the, you know.
They're all dorks.
Any of the other dorky stuff. Yeah.
Every high school everyone's kid a dork. Doesn't have enough of an understanding about anything to do with life.
That's true.
To have any kind, like, that environment creates a completely, to me anyways, I don't know, a completely false sense of self, I think, because 10 to 15 years later, you're not going to be the same person. And if you are, you got a lot of problems.
That's true. No, it's totally true. Like, you hope for growth, right?
Ideally.
I just know I read an article that said famous loners who went on to become successful. That article promised that I would become Bruce Springsteen, and I am not Bruce Springsteen.
It took a while.
I had no friends in high school. Where's my Bruce Springsteen arena rock dad status?
When did he become Bruce Springsteen? I feel like you've got a few years to still work towards it.
I think he was in his 30s, but I could
see. So we all have a chance to be Bruce.
And these generations, like the younger generations, are growing up and growing into whatever they become a lot slower. So you're probably well on your way. You just don't, you know, because we're developing slower. You don't know it yet.
What about me, Jim?
You're going to be Bruce.
Am I well on my way?
Oh yeah, you're Bruce. Everyone in here
is a Bruce.
We're all a Bruce.
Bruce Springsteen.
Still.
Did you just feel those warm fuzzies?
I did.
They just like tinkled inside your heart and did a little dance and pretend to be little stars.
It's beautiful. The theme of these two episodes, too, is change. How changing is hard. So I like how we're just like, we'll be Bruce Springsteen without any of the suffering.
That's right.
We'll just do the fun part.
Probably in a couple cases, musical talent.
Yeah.
Hey.
There's classes for that.
That's right.
Everyone will be a figurative Bruce Springsteen.
I would like to be a literal Bruce Springsteen.
It's not a literal Bruce Springsteen.
Can I also gain a little height? Isn't Bruce Springsteen tall?
He is. Yeah.
I'd like to gain some height too.
In Tennessee,
we could just look like Bruce Springsteen.
We're all gonna wake up and look like Bruce Springsteen. Yes. It's gonna be like Freaky Friday, but only better.
But he has lyrics where he says, "I hate my clothes, my hair, my face, and when I look in the mirror." So like, I don't know if he even wants to be Bruce Springsteen.
He just says that to make us feel better about ourselves. Yeah.
Bruce does not want to be Bruce.
Oh, well then we'll be Bruce.
Well, we're not Bruce. Bruce is Bruce. Bruce doesn't want to be Bruce, but we're not allowed to be Bruce. We have to be the thing that we don't want to be that other people might want to be.
Oh.
Like Moosh and Ellen and Shannon and Angela and Jim.
You guys don't know this. Somewhere out there, there's somebody that wants to be you.
Whoa. Ooh. I like it.
But you may hate yourself to the core, but that person still looks up to you.
Gain some strength from it.
I don't know. Just something good.
Ellen, you give some good advice.
You may not, but like I could look at your life big. You're very successful. You know, you're very talented. I've seen you act in a sketch show.
Which you wrote.
Yeah, because I paid the money to be in the program for them to be like, oh, and then at the end you get to put on a show. That means nothing. Like, they got my $2,000 or whatever. the amount of years I put into a place that I love. If they're listening, I love. But, like, I could also be like, okay, you have all these aspects of your life that I wish I had. You're very successful. But you might go home at night and be like, I wish I could do more with my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, somebody could be saying that about me. But I'm only going to focus on the things that make me embarrassed. Like, oh, I've dropped out of community college 2 times. let's see. I have some questionable ex-boyfriends.
at least they're exes.
Most people are embarrassed by their exes.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Or their exes are embarrassed by them.
Yeah.
Probably it's usually mutual.
For the sake of self-preservation, it's...
I think as far as the show goes, you're describing yourself as a Heather right now, who we all love the most.
Yes!
The neighbor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the one...
The one who's in community
Greg?
College and...
She's still... Yeah.
There was a Greg
thing.
She's
not still dating Greg.
Yeah.
Don't spoil.
Oh, you
know. I saw that one coming. They were not compatible. She's too good for him.
Let me just grab my pen. Note to self. Ellen asked question. Don't answer.
I'll be out of here soon.
You can spoil it all.
You can stay. Just plug your ears.
You know what? Actually, I'm fine with spoils. That's the only way, in all honesty, that I can enjoy anything because growing up, my sister would always spoil Harry Potter for me.
Oh, no.
So I would go into Harry Potter, like books, movie, already knowing what was going to happen just because she would just straight up tell me.
But she's just so excited. She's like, this is it.
We live in a world now where we could just access any plot spoiler like on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm to the point where I don't even watch anything without spoilers, even with the case of this show, because the title kind of gives it away.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Josh gets married or whatever the episode title is. And like I'll see that as I'm skimming through the episodes unintentionally. Mm-hmm. So I kind of already have some spoilers, but that's
he's not married yet.
He's supposed to be getting married, though.
Yeah, see, the title of the episode often sets up a false expectation.
Yeah, but sometimes it's real.
Yeah. Ellen, if you ever want to know spoilers for the entire season, you let me know when you're going to be on, and I will sing them to you in a song.
Okay, that in true Rachel Bloom fashion.
That's right.
She's so talented.
She is. Oh, my goodness.
Like, young. Like, God. Damn it, she's Bruce Springsteen.
She is Bruce Springsteen.
Honestly, is. Oh, God.
Oh, my goodness.
That's why we're not Bruce.
Mind blown. Hang on, let me grab some more glitter out of my imaginary fanny pack.
And then, boom.
There it went.
So what was the episode called that you're recapping? Did you write that part down?
Episode one.
Okay.
Oh, where is Josh's friend?
Okay.
Thanks, Angela.
Like, I know it gives something away.
You know, normally I write them down, and this time it was just kind of like, episode one, episode two.
It's like, we're starting fresh. One.
Yeah, exactly. Stop, pretend like you haven't done this before, Shannon. La, 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 la. Oh, do you want the rehab now?
We can, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, last season we left off with Rebecca telling Josh that she moved here for him and their love story can finally begin. So, after they had some action in the car, after James' wedding.
Looking at Ellen's face is amazing.
They actually get to get together?
They do. Badonkadong. Bow chicka bow wow.
And it's all consensual between it's both consensual. Parties.
There's an imaginary moment where they pretend they're on a flying carpet.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little cliche, but you know what?
Cliche.
That's okay.
We'll let it slide. The last episode of season one that it was supposed to be cliche. Like, she sang this song all throughout, and it was, like, off-key, and it was a fairy book song, so it's all about, like, living the childhood dream and being disappointed.
I'm just going to leave knowing that they finally get together.
That's right.
That's the world I want to live
in. Yeah.
They get together, they have a good time, and it's cliche and happy, and guess
what? Leave on that note.
It ends there.
Oh, until you come back.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Season two is all them just being happy and holding hands.
Yeah. Everybody is happy.
Will you write me the fan fiction, please?
Yeah, yes. They run through a field of wildflowers, holding hands and skipping.
Well, I want fan fictions with songs.
I think in my fan fiction, maybe Rebecca and Valencia would get together.
Ooh. I'm down for that, too.
Yes. Well, you know, like season one, what, episode two, they kind of had, you know, Rebecca that's was true. Like, I want to wear your skin. That's how romances start right there. So.
Yes, absolutely.
That's also how Silence of the Lambs went, too. So I don't know.
It puts the lotion on the skin or it gets the hose.
I do have to leave, though, so... I have a show across the hall to run, but I will stop talking over you guys.
It keeps the headphones on or it gets the hose.
I don't get it.
I switched the Silence of the Lambs reference to talk about you because you have headphones on as opposed to putting lotion on your skin so I can wear it later.
I wasn't allowed to watch it growing up. Still not going to even...
I'll sing that as spoilers, too. You let me know what you want spoiled.
Right. Don't let my mom know.
Okay.
thank you. Thank you, Moosh.
Of course. Yay. Anytime.
Please come back.
All right, goodbye.
Bye, Ellen.
Bye, Ellen. Bye. We love you, Ellen. Oh, yes, we do. We love you, Ellen, and we'll be true. And then she shut the door. So I'll stop the song.
And now for the spoilers.
I seriously...
Get down and dirty with the spoilers.
I really hope she's like, hey, Shannon, I'm going to be on this episode. Spoil the entire season for me. Because I will sing the shit out of that.
We'll get her on board. We'll get someone on board. It's always like the person I want to have on the podcast is like someone who's never seen it.
Yeah.
Or seen just enough to enjoy.
Yeah.
Where, how good it is.
I binged the rest of it. But I mean, like.
You were our person for so long.
I was your person. You know what? And that took a lot of self-control.
I know. Thank you for self-control for like a couple weeks.
It
was good.
It was like almost a season.
Yeah.
It was season one. And then I just like started season two. I'm like, I can't handle this anymore. It's like being on a diet for a month and you're like, fuck this. And then you go straight for the kitchen and you're like, I don't have any food because I got all diet food. So then you go straight to the fast food restaurant. You buy two of whatever you want. And then you go get a bag of salt and vinegar potato chips.
Oh, so good.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. On with this recap.
All right.
By the way, I was feeling a little tired. Luckily, they have Red Bull in the fridge. I mixed it with beer.
Say so you're double fisting Red Bull beer.
That's because I need the caffeine, but I love that they have beer here.
And it's a good beer.
You got to get the beer. And I like that they have blue solo cups. That makes me happy. Back to the episode. Okay. So, yeah, they had sex, just like we told Ellen, but... Guys, we lied to her because it doesn't end happily ever after.
No, it immediately goes bad.
It immediately goes bad. Oh, by the way, should we also say that this is after Jaima's wedding, the wedding that Josh attended with Valencia and the one that Rebecca attended with Greg. They both broke up with people at the wedding. And so, of course, the proper thing to do is go have sex.
Yes.
Immediately. And leave the wedding.
Immediately. Leave the wedding. Go have sex in a car.
Steal the car from the newlyweds.
That's right. That's right. Because they don't need it. They're fine. They need someone to screw up a piece of their wedding, obviously. What else would they talk about and have, like, hold against you for the rest of your life?
Like, never occurred to me, but that, like, one-ups anything Valencia could have done for attention, and you know she wanted attention at that wedding so bad.
You know, she was like, let's steal some wedding thunder, and Josh was like, okay, and so he did.
And he did. She didn't. She's gonna be mad.
So mad! Okay, so now they're driving in a car, and both Rebecca and Josh are very uncomfortable looking. And Josh tries to confront Rebecca, and she uses the lawyer force to dropkick his thoughts and leaves him out of that discussion, just feeling all icky and sad inside. Because she's like, no, I didn't want a commitment. You wanted a commitment. We need to like pump the brakes on this. So then we cut to 3 weeks later, and Josh is pretty much a squatter with benefits. Paula says that he's exploiting Rebecca, and Rebecca says, no, he's respeffing the hell out of me. Right?
So good. Such good wordplay.
I know. I also love Paula calling in an Airbnb with benefits. That was a great line. But Paula says that Rebecca's ping-ponging, which is kind of fun, because considering
what happens. Yeah.
What happens? Paula starts to question, you know, like, how do you know he loves you? Like, what do you mean? What's going on? And then comes the beautiful song of love kernels.
Just those love droplets.
Oh, yeah. Love kernels. Each little crumb, another tasty clue. Love kernels. Because if you read between the lines, he's saying, I love you.
Oh. It's such a sensuous song.
It is.
She's dressed as a cactus.
Yeah,
I know I'm selling it very well.
A sexy fashion cactus.
Cactus. I know when this episode first came out, I was like in that stage of a relationship where like a dude was not into it, but I would still be like, oh yeah, like sending me that music video was like him declaring that he wants to bone me forever.
Yeah.
Like, such nonsense.
Oh, I had a guy one time who. He immediately told me, like, straight off the bat, he's like, hey, I just got out of a serious relationship. I'm not looking for anything serious. And I was like, okay. And I said, okay, but I was like, you don't mean that. And so I, like, pulled on to every little thing that he did.
I think saying it makes it worse.
It kind of does.
Like,
it kind of does because it's like...
I'm just sitting here getting mad about it, too, because, like, I in that situation, I think we both said it, and then it was like, oh, wait.
Oh.
I'm still, like, playing mental games with myself.
Yeah.
And then you see it reflected back in, like, this artsy music video.
Yeah.
My favorite line from that one is about, okay, so you're collecting all the love kernels that he gives you about, like, the 3 a.m. text just means he was thinking of me in his dreams before he got up to pee. And then, so you're going to pop them up to a popcorn bowl and a handful is the proper serving anyway. That line... A handful is a proper... Oh, my God. I can't even say it. That line is the best. Like, just all around, all the different ways you can take it, all the subtext, all the truth. If I could give that show one line, it's that one.
Yeah. I also personally like how the love droplets mixed with tears make a full glass of water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm so thirsty. Sad.
And then there's also Daryl's now played by a broom on a stand.
Oh, we do the best with what we have. We all do.
And he looks just like a broom.
He does. He looks so cute. Okay, so Paula and Scott, after that song, are talking about Rebecca. And Paula's talking about how she's trying to, like, wean herself off of Rebecca's life. But she feels this sense of emptiness. And she's like, I don't know what this is. And then Rebecca, she had given Josh a drawer because Josh was like, what am I going to do with my gi? And she's like, I'm really close to the dojo. Just leave it here. But Rebecca, trying to, like, say, please love me. Just love me. she makes it so that the drawer lights up and there's outlines for the various things and there's a personal safe and she doesn't know the combination of the safes and there's a little white box. We'll find out what's in it in a second. And then
it plays a song.
Open the drawer and it plays Scott Joplin's song, The Entertainer. Da 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 da.
And she sings about socks.
Yes.
I like the version where she's singing about her bras that got too small because she went on a bad birth control.
Yeah. Oh, that's a different Scott Joplin song.
I know it
song.
Is, and I don't know the melody, so I can't sing it.
Oh, yeah, because it's a different one. Like, we don't know that song as well. Like,
it's Maple Leaf Rag.
Yes.
Oh, God.
It's like a little.
You are the bras that got too small. I went on a bad birth control. my boobs got too big. Now I'm waiting for it.
Feel like I'm just singing Two Princes now.
But anyway, Josh's danger ball is starting to go off and Becca's getting the warning, you know, like, danger, danger, Will Robinson, Chip's about to, I don't know. And so she pulls out of the little white box, handcuffs, Amazon T-Day Prime.
The second plug for a sex toy.
Yeah, you can get a lot of sex toys on Amazon T-Day Prime.
Sure can.
There was also a harness for... Scott and Paula.
Full disclosure or secret time. It's not a secret. Thing? I've bought stuff, sex toys on Amazon, but I don't know how to hide them from my recent orders.
Oh no.
Does anyone know how? Because I ordered a lot of stuff on Amazon.
You can.
So every time you log into your account, they just pop up?
I don't know, but if I
want to.
I was at work the other day and I wanted to check the order status of some curtains and I was like, I know I can't log into Amazon now.
I don't know how to hide orders, but there is a way to delete your searching on Amazon so that
doesn't,
certain
pop up
items
as...
doesn't, you know, pop up when you open
you
the
also
Amazon
might be interested in.
We could call Amazon tech support and see if
yes, you know, they also have chat services. We can just chat in.
We can just chat them.
Yeah.
If I had my little laptop with me, I'd be doing it right now. Be
they get that
guys.
Question all the time.
I'm sure they do.
It should come every time you order something on Amazon Prime for sex.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It should come up with a little dialogue box. Like, hey, did you know? Like a little clippy comes out.
Yes, this is
from
how you
Word.
Hide it.
Did you know?
Put it at the top of the FAQs, right? Or questions and answers. We're like, how do you do this? First one needs to be, how do I hide my sex toy purchases?
Yes. That's the only thing. And how do I hide my sex toy purchases? How do I get refunded for things that didn't show up? That's really all Amazon needs.
That's all we need. Yeah. But yeah. Okay. So back to the episode. After the handcuffs and all the good sexy time, Josh goes back to the couch because that's where he sleeps because he doesn't want to sleep in the bed.
Were you guys surprised that he was wearing the handcuffs?
No.
I know.
He seems the more submissive.
I know. I know it after I thought about it. At first I was like, wow. And I was like, no, wait.
I think it's more a symbolic thing. She's the one kind of in control.
She's all like, love me, look at me, I will make you happy, and I'm going to do all the... And plus, you know,
by force.
There's multiple time... Yeah, exactly, by force.
Force you into being happy. Yeah.
But there's also, multiple references of her, giving him personal service. And you never see him returning the favor. There's nothing about that. I'm sure it's very one-sided.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is problematic. That shows an unhealthy relationship. Josh has a dream where Greg comes to him in an Emery sweatshirt that was in the drawer before the drawer was his drawer. And Greg announces his disapproval of Rebecca. See, you like it. And then turns into a falcon. Ka-ka!
In an Emery sweater.
Yeah. Tell Rebecca's friend Emery that she's not getting her sweater back.
Ka-ka!
Because that's what Rebecca did. Rebecca was like, oh, it's not my sweater. It's not Greg's sweater. It was my friend Emery. Well, it's my sweater because it's my friend's Emery. She has a sweater that says Rebecca. We're so funny. Just kidding. I'm full of lies.
Just kidding. This whole episode is full of lies.
Yes. So Josh tells Rebecca they have to go on pause until they can find Greg. So Rebecca, she tries everyone. She tries Shauna, who is Greg's mom. And we thought that Greg was like there for botched surgery, like helping Shauna out after some bad plastic surgery. But that's not the case. And of course, Rebecca introduces herself to Shauna. Like, I had sex with your son.
Oh, yeah.
I had a lot of sex with your son. Yes.
And then she tries Chris and Heather. Kevin and Heather. Heather, who I just absolutely love, is painting her toenails on a pile of potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, they're going to get peeled.
Mm-hmm. She didn't just try Chris. She threatened Chris, who's like 11.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But he records all conversations with adults because he's a smart kid.
He's a super smart kid.
I love like the whole thing where they're like, he's my boy, my bro, my crew. And like, and Kevin just continues it on. But
my ride or die.
Yes! Plus, did someone mention a kayak like last season or somewhere?
Yeah, Dr. Copian.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Because
saving up for a kayak.
Because Heather now is saving up for a kayak. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that sounds so familiar. I don't know who had a kayak dream before.
Everyone eventually will have a kayak.
Everyone. Yep.
They're very fashionable.
They are. Well, yes. Someday we'll have a podcast episode in a kayak.
Yeah.
A few of them, probably. Because I don't think five people can fit in a kayak, can they?
Well, we have to make it worth the money of getting the kayaks. So we have to, like, use them.
Yeah. Of course. All the time. For every episode.
All the time. Maybe we don't even need water. Maybe we can just sit in here. We'll move the table.
Fit one on the table.
Sit in a kayak. Ooh, just right on the table. You're right. Because then it's like water. Yeah. Only not. Because you're still like floating because it's a table and you're above ground.
And yeah.
And if you step down, you could fall and crash and die.
There's the whole problem of trying to stay stabilized while podcasting.
That's right. That's the true test. And you guys, like, you see me in here. I move around a lot. I'm totally going to be topsizing us, capsizing, whatever the word is. I'm going to do it. Sorry.
I really do want to go kayaking with you guys before summer's over.
Yes.
So, I mean, we've got like a week or 3 days, depending on if we're going towards Labor Day.
Okay, well, I mean, like, early fall is just like summer.
Yeah.
You guys, I'll bring cheese slices and crackers. It'll be great.
Yes.
No? What kind of snacks do people bring when they go kayaking?
Those?
Granola?
Granola! Things that
beer.
Don't...
Beer.
Yeah.
Beer. Yes. I think that's all you bring.
Just beer.
Yeah.
Lots of beer. Maybe I'll still bring the saltines. You gotta soak it up somehow. Maybe not the cheese slices.
No, definitely the cheese.
Okay.
You're gonna want it. Eventually, every snack will become like needed.
Game on.
Necessary. Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever's like out there will be necessary.
So, yeah, I'll bring an extra bag of salt and vinegar potato chips after diet binge.
I like it.
Yeah. That was a reference.
We'll order pizza.
Pizza. Will they deliver on the water?
Sure.
We'll find out.
Yes. We will find out. Man, you know what? If you ever get pizza delivered and the guy like kayaks out to you to deliver your pizza, that man's getting a big tip.
Mm-hmm.
And a beer. Because, you know, you got to do both. You've earned a lot. I actually hope one of you orders a pizza and I need to kayak it out to you because I want a big tip and a beer.
I like it. I'll write this under the dreams section.
Yes, please do. I don't see your pen moving yet.
Okay, dreams.
Yeah, I see dreams.
Delivering beer.
Yep.
Or, I mean, delivering pizza.
Both are the same, a little.
Four tips and beer.
Yes. And I want you to cheer really loud and be like, our food hero.
All right. That'll come back around. I promise. That'll be a callback.
Yes. Okay. Great. Now we have that one in the books and I saw you write it down. So we're good. Rebecca needs to find Josh. And she can't, so she,
Greg. Gotta find Greg.
Wants to find Greg so that she can bang Josh.
Yes.
Thanks for that.
They need, yeah. So she goes,
no, you're right. So she goes to Paul and she's like, Paula, please help me. And Paula's like, no, I'm trying to wean myself off of this crazy. And Rebecca uses a flirty pout face and she puts her foot on Paula's crotch because that's what you do with a surrogate mom friend.
Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, wait, I forgot what we're doing here.
Yeah. And so Paula finally agrees and the two track down Greg on East Cameron, where everything is, supposedly. But before that, we see Daryl give Josh a key to his place, and it's cheesy delightful because if you didn't notice, the keychain has a picture of Daryl in the middle of it, and it's a heart.
I missed that.
Yeah. It was small. I paused it, and I, like, leaned up really close
to get it all in.
Because I was like, what is that up? Like, what's that thing that's moving? And I pause it, and I missed it, so I rewind it. I pause it again. I'm like, oh, there it is. There's a cute little Daryl picture. Aww. Not room Daryl either, real Daryl. So, Paula and Rebecca go and they find Greg's at AA. He got a DUI and had court ordered 30 days of AA. And so he talks about his alcohol addiction. And Paula realizes that she's addicted to Rebecca's love life. And Rebecca's like, oh, is this a bad time to tell him about Josh? Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, honey, it is. So Rebecca tries to get Paula involved in the scheme and, she, you know, like, oh, we're going to tell Josh and Greg that they've won a trip to Belize and $10,000. Mm-hmm. She lost all her money before. Like, she doesn't have that much to spare. Come on. But and Paula's like, yeah, whatever you want. And she's like, no, Paula, you're supposed to help me. And Paula's like, oh, no. I need to help myself. Here, sign this friendship contract. And so the friendship contract says that Paula can consult and support, but can be no part of shenanigans. Shenanigans. Da, 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 da. Shenanigans. Da, 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 da. Shenanigans. We also see through this episode multiple times that Josh is not super psyched because he thinks he's going to have to move back home because without Rebecca, you know, he gave up his apartment to Valencia. Mm. His friends can't host him, you know, and he's so upset about them. Though I must say, what about Ken? You know, he talks about how Beans' house is like
condemned.
Condemned. Mm. That's the word. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, and why Josh is hanging out with his boyfriend and, you know, Greg still lives with his dad and blah, 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 blah. They never talk about Ken. What's up? You invited him to taco night,
but he's just
Ken's obviously the one that, like, they all know will just be like, dude, get your shit together. Like, I know.
he's like another white Josh.
Yeah.
Super judgy.
Yeah.
But very honest and true.
Yeah.
So he's not involved.
Yeah.
He can't be.
I guess not. You know, he probably lives somewhere.
He's probably married.
Yeah, exactly.
He's got, like, a full-time day job. He just, like, yeah.
He's, like, the most normal person in the world.
Oh, yeah. And so when we saw him for that, like, taco night, it was, like, his one night the month that he got to, like, get out of the house. He's like, oh, my God, I'm so excited. What bottomless drinks? This is great. And then he's like, no, I got to go back to suburbia. Bye, guys. see you soon. Aww. Look for my Christmas card. Rebecca goes back to the house, and she has, like, this very sad song. Oh, also almost forgot that Hector is trying to help Josh see that moving home isn't so bad. Mm-hmm. Because you can have things such as nightmare cuddles, crustless bread, and mom double dates.
Yes.
So.
Selling that hard.
That's the dream. Let's live it, people.
I don't live with my mom. I live with my best friend. Hashtag Hector.
Oh, Hector. Which is, of course, why, like, he has so many alarms and he doesn't even worry about getting up. Because he's like, it's okay. I got nowhere to be. Best friends in the other room just waiting to make me breakfast.
They have a podcast together.
Aww.
They're tight.
They are. It's a little weird, but in a way, I'm glad he's found someone. Rebecca goes back to the house. She opens up the drawer again. And so she sings the sad drawer song. Mm-hmm. When your fella no longer wants a drawer and you don't want to hurt your alcoholic friend. God, it's hard to sing a sad song when the melody makes you want a Charleston. Which is just beautiful because it's true. And then she does a little Charleston and it's the sad Charleston. Mm-hmm. And I was in that moment, I'm like, yep, done that.
Yep.
Yeah. You gotta have your moment where you're just like, I'm gonna dance and I'm gonna be really sad about it.
I can't not, but.
Yeah. Hmm. But it turns out that Josh came back not because he has strong feelings, but because he doesn't want to live with his parents. So
it's true.
They bang some
looking for moisture wicking socks.
Oh, yeah.
Which I have to agree with him, those are expensive.
Yes. Okay. How expensive are they?
Well, I have some running socks that are $14 a pair. Wow. So I would go back to a questionable paramour for those.
Yeah, okay. All right.
It's $7 a sock.
That's $7 a sock, but you know what? I've spent far stupider times on more than $20. Yeah. Like,
yeah, but
it was an easier decision by the fact that he probably didn't want to go home either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he was kicked out of. Yeah. He tried to sleep at Aloha Tech.
He did.
So,
and then he like the bubble wrap went off, and his boss was like, "The safe number is," and he was like, "Dude," and they're having this conversation about one's more mature than the other. And like, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of people with families, like his boss, who's a year younger than him, is like, "Dude, got two kids and a wife. Like, get your shit together." So
I am an adult.
Yeah, he really does whine that a lot in this episode, which, to be fair, Rebecca has the entire first season. So
they're
meant to be.
Turnsies.
I get to see that side of him. He's not perfect anymore.
Yeah, well, did we ever really think Josh was perfect?
No, we didn't.
No.
We did not.
The only person who thought Josh was perfect is Rebecca because she imprinted on him like a baby goose. Mm-hmm. And so Greg is back. We see Greg back at AA. Guardrail, whose name we got because he's overprotective of his Coke, or he was. Named by his friend Throttle. You wonder if the Throttle was named because he throttled him for trying to take his Coke. We don't know, but it seems like it could make sense. And he's like, hey, you're in the euphoria stage. There's a pink, like a pink cloud. It won't last forever. Am I in the wrong episode?
Yeah, you're going into two, which is great.
Like, oh, no.
Whoa. Yeah. But that's fine.
But there's a song.
There is a song. Which song? Oh, there
well, we
is.
The, we oh, should, yeah. The,
definitely not should have not sex. Have sex right now.
See, this is what happens. I have my notes in a notebook as opposed to in their paper clips. And so this is what happens to my life.
Well, clearly you didn't connect to that song as much. As
we should definitely not have sex right now. No, that song, I was like, all I kept thinking is like, you're loitering. You're mooching off of her. Because
but it's
you don't want to live with your parents.
Yeah, it's it's a very real depiction, I think, of, you know.
Oh, yeah.
People's drives and their, like, resistance to things that they know that they shouldn't, like, maybe engage in. But they're just.
Yeah.
They let their feelings
the
take over.
The best things in life are free. Ba-na-na-na. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want your money. And a big roof. Na 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 na. Don't want to live with my parents. that's what I want. Yeah. Had to finish.
I feel like you should just keep recapping because you put it in song. So.
Want to put everything in song? I want to do Rebecca proud. Well, I mean, if we want to talk more about the episode and stuff.
Doesn't that episode end with, is it the end of this episode where Josh is playing video games on the couch?
The end of this one is actually a big thing because after they have sex for their massive sex of we shouldn't be having sex,
Josh sleeps in the bed. Yes, that's
what I remember. And Rebecca's the big spoon.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she cuddles him and he holds her hand and she's so excited. I'm like, but he's little spooning you. Like, so that's not okay.
He's finally driven to that commitment that she couldn't get from him by the fact that he's upset about having to move back home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, finally, it's, well, okay, sleeping in her bed and being more involved with her is a better option than going and living with my parents, which is not the best choice.
Well, you know,
precursor
spent
of her
the last...
relationship, probably not the best and determinant of how committed a relationship is.
And his parents are pretty reasonable, nice people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like... They were abusive monsters, and you can't go back.
It's that cultural shame here of if you live at home at a point beyond the age of, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is it now, really? It's like 25 or something.
Yeah, I'd say like 25.
You know, if you're a legal adult and you live at home, you're some kind of a loser or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, instead of giving people realistic time to evolve and grow into an actual functioning adult before they move on with things.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Though his parents were, his mom was really cute about it. She, you know, he's like, Mom, I might need to
We
move
didn't
back
change
home.
Your room.
And, yeah, we didn't change your room. Your dad wanted to make it an indoor sauna. And I said, what if he has to come back home?
It's like they don't trust him to get his life together.
He's the only boy. He's the little baby.
He is the little baby. That's why he's the little spoon. Him.
That's why he's the little spoon. You know, I have nothing against people who are, who decide to be the little spoon, you know, or the big spoon. I mean, it's totally up to you. But for me, for him, I see it as a cop-out. I see it as him, like, still shirking commitment to the best of his ability. He's like, you'll do all the work. You'll give me head and spoon me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just seems wrong.
It is. Because, I mean, she spent all that time trying so hard to get with him. And, like, it's not even like, oh, meet halfway. It's like, meet at all. Like, take a step forward. Yep. Like,
do a 90-10 here. We're doing 90-10. That's the best you get.
Yeah.
It's just nothing, like, from him at all.
But on her hand, you know, she's trying to force compatibility or force, you know, more interest from somebody who, I mean, realistically, just isn't right for her.
Yeah, like
they're not in a place where they're at all right for each other. Their whole relationship, her whole idealization of their relationship is based on the fact that the last time she remembers feeling happy was being a kid, and she just happened to have like imprinted on him at that point. Like he was part of that memory,
like a goose,
and those feelings. Yeah, like that. Yeah, the baby goose. So yeah, it's a.
Well, she even brings it up like in the car in that first scene where she's just like, if I ran into someone else from camp, I probably would have followed them because camp was the memory. Camp was the thing I'm trying to chase.
Just Matt from Michigan or something like that. I'd be the one with the
chapped
lips. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be living in Michigan and running a lip balm company.
And you know she would.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's exactly
because
the type
what
of
she's trying
she
to find is the feeling. She's been so sad, depressed, and miserable for the last however many years that when she finally gets that memory of how it felt to be happy again, she just impulsively goes after it, and it just so happens to get placed on Josh because he's the one that she saw, and he was the like main face of that memory, I guess, or that last time she felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole thing, it's not based on, I think, who they are subjectively. It's based on an emotional connection that isn't necessarily, it's not going to sustain a relationship between them.
Mm-hmm. No, like her alone, like the amount of effort she's putting in right now without getting anything in return, she's totally going to burn out.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. One would think, but she's a little bit more obsessive than most and, you know, she's like, she has so much like pent up energy of years of not doing anything that it might take her a little bit longer than it would most people to totally burn out. But
I get it.
Yeah, you can't give that much into a relationship and not get back without burning out.
Yeah, and I'm not even talking. I said earlier my or at one point I was talking to somebody here and I think I said my Josh Chan was writing and creative kind of pursuits. Like that's what I had an experience where that became something that made me feel very emotionally gratified, and I impulsively just immersed myself obsessively in it. And eventually, you're gonna burn out on that, or you know, you need to take a step back or get some, you know, regain some energy, or something's not gonna work out, and it's going to kind of that crutch is gonna fall out from under you at some point, and then you're gonna have to figure out, okay, how do I balance myself out now? You know, and maybe a healthier, more kind of leveled way. But and I think that's eventually what, you know, she's going to hit.
But even like with her and Josh, they have a lot of things that are very compatible. Like they're both very positive, eager people when they're on the same page.
Yeah.
So I guess the bummer of this is like he's obviously not, I mean, they're both obviously not mature enough for this, but
that's true.
It is one of the situations where, like, had they met, I mean, like, maybe not 10 years from this point again, but, like, they're honestly could have been a good relationship between two people. I'm saying this one episode in when they're still together, like, knowing what's about to happen. But
they would have
like,
had to put a lot of effort into finding actual common interests, though, because she's forcing. They don't have, I mean, they're not intellectually compatible at all.
True.
Like they're not on the same level.
Which is like one major big strike. Like it's really hard when you can't talk to someone.
Yeah. Like she has to, you know, use 3-syllable words or 2 syllables.
Come on. Oh, he's not that bad. He lived in New York, guys, remember? Still don't know why, but
I'm just messing around with that. But yeah, I mean, they're, you know, they're,
guys, I feel like Josh avoids connections with people on a deeper level. I feel like something in his life may have happened that made him say, ooh, I must pump the brakes and I can't let anyone inside the inner bubble.
It's true. He is more...
He's very superficial.
Yeah, he's like more superficial and...
I think he recognized at some point that he wasn't maybe the most like academically intelligent person. So his achievements were more at, like, you know, physical and looks based, I think. So, you know, he's very athletic and his like his dance and maybe his athletics and stuff, that got him somewhere. Yeah. So he's more secure in that area.
I forgot he danced. I was like, wait a minute. Yeah.
Well, and he probably
Karate. He's a black belt. Like he's got a lot of
multiple black
physical
belts.
acumen.
Yeah.
But which is a great skill. It's amazing when you're developed in that way. But I think that's where his stunted maybe kind of like depth or whatever. He probably has a lot of depth of knowledge where, you know, karate's concerned and electronics and stuff. Like
when it comes to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's one of those things that I feel like when you rely on pretty, you also know that you have to people please the shit out of people. Because like, you know, and so that means that you have to hold a lot of yourself back because got to make people like you because that's what you got.
Yeah, because if you're pretty and weird, which is Rebecca, you don't get anywhere. Like,
you get places.
I mean, you get places, but
it takes you longer.
It takes you longer. It's all screwed up. You end up like playing footsie with your friend's pussy.
She is a lawyer who went to Yale and Harvard.
Yes,
I love how their relationship does get strangely sexual. There's that other time in the episode, not too long after that, when Paula is hacking into Greg's phone to figure out where he is. And as she's doing it, Rebecca looks at her and goes, God, that's sexy.
Yeah.
And so she starts to kind of like tip over the mother-daughter thing into like, wow, you're turning me on right now. You know,
yeah.
But they're just playing with it.
Yeah,
it's fun to watch them play with that.
It's done as a joke, but it's also like she's acknowledging that, oh, this
you're
woman
a sexy
is
woman because you're intellectual, you're intelligent, and like
she's seeing her as a full human being in that moment, not just a mother figure.
Yeah. And you know, I think she really needs like connection with someone, and so it's one of those things like if you get yourself in a really bad relationship with someone who you're very incompatible with, you know, a piece of you at least is going to be like, I got to find I'm missing something.
I
need to find some sort of piece that's going to like fix the rest of this. And in her case, she's like, oh, my surrogate mom friend. She's kind of sexy because she's also
confident,
super smart.
And smart and sneaky. And
she sings a good song.
Sings a great song, which is just going to bring us to the next episode. I'll start recapping it because that song pretty much opens it.
Such a good song.
Just to like get there, we have Greg at AA basically opens up, is told things are going to go down. You're not going to be happy forever. He offers to bring the donuts and they're like, the donuts are important. I don't even know if they do at this point, but the donuts are important.
Well, it's in that sequence, I think.
Yeah, it's in that sequence. At some point it happens.
I like how they handle that whole like recovering addict and how big of a deal it is for them to start handling responsibility, even if it's something small like that. Like that's,
all the addict stuff is so interesting. And I think like the most well-written, it's the most well-written and smart in a show that, like, you know, of course they always give us the stuff, but like that's not the main plot, but like this is huge, and they put this in there so we take the big stuff as well as like the Josh and Rebecca stuff. Is he comes back from karate and she's made kugel and she wants to share her culture with him, and he's like, oh, I ate a sushi burrito, sorry bro, I'm gonna go sit down on the couch to play video games and I can't hang out with you all week because I got stuff with the boys and something
I
video games.
I filled up my social calendar.
Yeah, and he's just like pushing her away, and she's this might even be where they set up like she gets into a lie where she's like, I am a great ping pong player.
You mean the junior Miss Table Tennis champion for the Eastern Northern Seaboard County District?
Yes.
Which he immediately repeats back perfectly word for word.
Oh my God, I can't even do that in this room. But so yeah, they set that up as like she wants to spend time with him, so she's on another scheme, she's on more lies. But then we get to the Paula scene, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Because Paula, in the last episode, decides she's going back to law school. Or oh, it is this episode.
We did see it. There was a screen.
The very end of the prior episode, there was a sequence. And at the end of that sequence, I think she finished her application.
Yeah, or like then. She was reading the frequently asked questions. Yeah. Like, yeah. One, how do I hide my sex toy order? Two, how do I apply to law school?
These are on the same website, aren't they? Man, Amazon has everything.
It's got everything. So she's, she basically figures out, like, while talking to Scott, which, like, turns out Scott, her husband, is an important part of her life and big character on the show because they soundboard a lot of stuff and are equals in that way. He listens and gives her ideas. And she admits to being, she admits to calling or knowing Greg was an alcoholic, which I don't think most people saw coming. I didn't see coming.
That's the thing that I really like about the show as well. Because normally in shows, if someone is an alcoholic, they're full blown, like crazy
drunk. Yeah, there's
drunk,
a drunk.
Right?
Yeah.
And this is more like, he was the functional this is very realistic who, because, you can be a functional alcoholic. And being an alcoholic does not mean like that you just fly off the handle all the time.
Yeah.
It means they have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol.
Yeah. And them writing it that way, we got to kind of experience it. I mean, when somebody is an alcoholic and you're like friends with them, you don't necessarily know that they are until there's a problem. Until,
well,
you're
close to it all.
And with people, you never want to, at least for me, I never want to call someone an alcoholic or bring it to their attention because that is their personal relationship.
Yeah.
And they're the
those
one.
Those are some big words.
Yeah, they're the one that has to make that decision.
Yeah.
So until someone comes out and says, hey, I'm an alcoholic, they're not an alcoholic, except Paula, who knows everything. She like calls it out, I think, in like the second to the finale or during the finale.
Well, she called it out in the middle of season
one.
And it was just kind of quickly like glossed over, like he's angry, he's an alcoholic.
Yeah, she throws it out a couple times and then she comes back. She's like, I knew it. And she's, of course she did because she's Paula. She's awesome.
Yeah. Well, she's got more life experience too. She's probably seen it at some point.
And she just is like, you know, she's not living up to her full potential, which means that like her brain's grasping at anything it can.
It's got everything. But in that situation, she realizes she's addicted to helping Rebecca. And that's when she gets the glitter bursting inside feeling for her. It's that. And it's either that, like following Rebecca's love life, reading vampire novels, or writing legal briefs. And Scott's like, well, why don't you do more of that? She's like, I can't just write them for fun. So then in that offhand statement, finds law school. And she sings the best song.
And there's a letter of recommendation that she needs from Rebecca by Friday.
Yeah. And like Rebecca freaks out and they squeal and they have like a girl best friend moment about how, you know, happy I am.
Esquire.
Oh, yeah.
Paula.
Law school.
What are we going to do?
Which word are we saying?
Yeah. And, you decide.
And basically, while they're having this chant, Daryl is writing his own recommendation letter. Like, he writes it that day.
Immediately.
On the spot.
And when she turns down the letter of recommendation, he's like, oh, I'll just write another draft. And
like, it'll be a better draft.
He's so sweet.
He's the sweetest.
Oh, but this dream. Yes.
Yeah, it's...
Oh, the words in this are just so great.
You've got them written down.
I don't have all of them. I wrote down my favorite.
Okay.
Okay, so I thought the dreams would never come true, or I thought my dreams would come true, but the world was like, nope.
Yep.
That's a true statement. Maybe this dream won't poop on my face like a seagull at the beach.
Also
that's a good one. Wedding, there goes the bride. I came back.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
I can't wait till they reveal her secret.
Yeah.
Like, she's got some kind of big secret.
Oh, yeah,
in her
she
past.
Has to. And then my personal favorite, there's a few more, but like my personal favorite was the maggots feasting on my rotting deer carcass of my pride.
As she hovered over a rotting deer carcass.
That's right next to the copy machine.
Yeah. Yep.
Because that's still there.
Yeah,
it's like a beautiful fairy tale kind of a setting with all of these just horrid like little, you know, features.
Yeah. Oh, and then we have like my vibrator breaking when I need it the most. Dream. Hope this dream isn't like the Ebola eating the flesh of the host. And then she, of course, ends with a nice sequence of running, having to take a dump on her period, having two kids. And then she gets home and her underwear smells like a sewer rat.
Yep.
So that's the finale.
Running until you have to take a dump. and then the dump cramp, or you're also you're on your
trying
period.
To run home.
Yeah. And you, so your dump cramps become period cramps.
Or they're the same. You have both of them.
Yes.
Just both ends.
It's just heightening to the best degree.
Yep. Yeah. And she's singing it all in this very sweet, like, do, 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 mm-hmm. do, do, do.
Hitting,
do.
Like, the highest notes possible.
Yeah.
Like a Julie Andrews kind good. Of Sound of Music.
And some of the coworkers became birds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all the dumb dudes that she bosses around all day become birds.
Ka-ka!
Tweedle-deedle-dee.
And then we basically get into Greg's life, and his song comes pretty much next. Like, he comes to work, and he's like, who's his boss?
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin is just like, we've got you covered, man. Like, you're awesome. You're so brave. We're not going to serve beer battered shrimp anymore. And
you don't have to serve alcohol anymore. Mm-hmm. And he's a bartender.
It's so funny. He's supportive. Heather's chill or something. I don't remember. She's there. And then
she already knew he was an alcoholic. Like,
yeah.
Hey, I'm glad that you finally realized you're an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you knew? Yeah. I had an ex who was addicted to Oxy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Heather. So Heather knows everything.
So worldly.
She even knows when you can paint your toenails on certain vegetables.
Which one's the potatoes?
Tubulars.
Oh, so good.
Is that what they are? They're tubulars?
Tubulars.
Tubulars.
Something.
Tubers.
They're in the ground.
Tubers.
Is it tubers?
Tubers.
Tubers, like that's the word. That's where tubular came from.
Because potatoes are the best.
They're the... Oh! Mind blown.
Boom.
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 What's a person to do? Oh, the drinking song?
The drinking song, yeah. So he's brought all his bros to his bar he works at so he can tell them all that he got a DUI and he's an alcoholic now.
This song is quite catchy, by the way.
And it's like the best drinking song of all time. Yeah. It is an Irish drinking song about... being an alcoholic.
Yes. I pee my pants, my pants. I pee my pants.
I get up from the bar to find pee on my pants.
I say
that's just water, but you can tell with a glance.
For people to realize I peed my pants.
I did not realize it was that bad.
Oh, wait, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
That's like my favorite moment, too. Mm. Just anything he does, really, but...
Yes. Yeah.
Did not realize it was that bad. Ooh, Josh.
I think right before the song starts, mm-hmm. Greg says he's an alcoholic, and I don't know if someone mentions like not being like they're shocked and white Josh.
Oh,
is
yeah.
Like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then Josh is always Josh Chan is like riddled with guilt because he thinks that he's like going over in his head everything that he may have had to do with it. Basically, though, the underlying guilt is that he's sleeping with Rebecca and he hasn't been able to tell Greg yet.
Yeah.
And so he's, you know. That,
wait till Josh has a secret? Wait till Josh doesn't like secrets.
Oh, he hates those.
He hates secrets. Yeah. He's going to stomp his foot.
Yeah. I mean, he does really well with the secret because he lasted through this entire meeting.
Oh, my goodness.
And he doesn't say anything. And then he goes into
That's
a meeting with.
24 hours.
I know. And then he's like with Father Bra. And he even says, like, I don't think I should tell the secret now, and which is the mature and wise thing, according to Father Bra, and probably most people in this room.
Yeah. Your friend,
Josh is super surprised he did something wise. He's like, wait, what? That's a good idea.
I better fix that.
Yeah, don't tell him.
So maybe we're at, like, 26 hours now.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
guys, I got to adjust this. I just did something smart.
Yeah, he's so proud of himself, and he's like, "I'm going to go show you guys how smart I am by talking to Greg." He's talking to Heather, who's like, he's doing like his first step or whatever number step it is, where you tell people the things you've done wrong to them, which is funny but not funny. And then he just comes over and he like blows the secret all over.
Oh, and Greg, his amends to Heather was like, "I'm sorry, I ate all your French fries."
Oh yeah,
and he calls her friend's band terrible while he's doing it.
I'm sure Heather agreed. Well, maybe not. Oh yeah,
maybe not.
Maybe not. That scene particularly. I don't know if you were in the. I feel like I in this room have admitted to like probably being someone's like. Early on recovery immense person, and I feel like Heather has also probably been in that spot multiple times, or like at least at the very least Greg is doing exactly what these guys have done to me, which is like, well, I got a lot of stuff to get off my chest, I'll start small, I'll start with like the French fries.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, like, I knew I have to apologize to you, mm-hmm. but that's a lot of feelings that I just can't handle it. So I'm going to say sorry for the French fries.
Mm-hmm. So I'll just, like, go
sorry,
up
sorry, I didn't get your ketchup.
Like, I'll get all the food related.
I'm sorry, I got a hot dog steaks. And I put mustard on it. I know you hate mustard.
I ate all the popcorn.
I ate all the popcorn. I only left the kernels for you so that you'd reach and you'd eat them.
Oh, you'd break a tooth.
Oh,
I've got somewhere to be, but we can talk about me stealing your car after.
Yeah, those people come later, like much later. But Heather,
I'm sorry I untied your shoe.
Oh, he's not that mean, is he?
Well, I was saying small stuff.
Small stuff, yeah. That seems, I don't know, it seems, that's like,
are you
I don't
saying
know,
I've escalated?
I'm just saying
is
that's
that
like,
the next level?
Maybe. Yeah, because it's like, it feels pretty malicious.
It's
untying
like
someone's
plus.
Shoe. Yeah.
Well, maybe
it was by
mostly
accident.
Untied.
Maybe like stepped on it.
Oh, come on. I've untied people's shoes. They're there. You sit on the floor. Everyone else sits on chairs. What are you going to do? Play with their shoes. No? Just
nope,
me?
Just
all
me.
Right. Fine.
And during this entire mess, Greg finds out Josh has been sleeping with Rebecca, not just once, but like a lot.
Heather's like, stop talking.
Yeah. just stop it. And even
Hang
Greg's
on,
like,
I
don't
almost
need,
count.
I don't need more information. You're good. And he just keeps talking. And he goes to work. He quickly sings his I Don't Care song, in which he cares a lot, and he punches a wall. Which we find out later is good because he felt an emotion.
He did. He didn't reach for the bottle.
Yes, which is a small victory.
Victory!
I don't know that it's a small victory for an alcoholic. that's probably a pretty big victory.
That's pretty big.
Because he actually got the drink together, he said, and he had one picked out and he was ready to do it.
Yeah,
and then
that's true.
Instead, he hit a wall.
And it's his first time finding a very emotionally heightened situation and dealing with it in a way that numbing it.
Yeah, during his recovery.
And, and really early on, too. So that is actually really good.
It's actually good for you, Greg. Just saying.
Every character's personal growth in the show is very well respected. Like they pay very special attention to every character having growth throughout the whole series. It's smart.
It's so good. But then we get back to Rebecca, who's like not growing at all. In fact, she is with an 11-year-old child learning how to be a ping pong master.
Oh, are you talking about
in the conference room?
Yao Hang?
Yes.
The 2016 San Gabriel Valley Junior Table Tennis Champion.
Yep.
That guy? He has a business card. I picked one up.
Just hired him to teach her how to be a sexy ping pong player.
That's right. He doesn't know how to be sexy. He just knows how to make matching outfits.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. So that's all happening. And I don't know, like, for me, I'm on Paula's side now. I'm like, cool, we're down with shenanigans. Like, we're done here. But she just keeps bringing shenanigans back in. She's like practicing and learning. And then as she's like doing this practice, she gets into the song Ping Pong Girl, which is actually a really good song.
I know. I just looked up the lyrics because I hadn't written them down.
Yes. But yeah, and I've got a clip of it too. We can listen to some of it. Because this is like her
Dreams
fantasy sequence
true.
That segues us into the actual ping pong night out, which is, they haven't really done a lot of that, but it was pretty cool. Pretty cool direction.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Sports.
Sports.
So yeah, here's that song.
After each rally, she chugs beer instead of water. She's so aloof, it borders on cold, and that's what makes me want her. Ping pong girl, she's so independent. This fantasy beats our flight attendant. I'm the pursuer. Ping pong girl. Her forehand is a jet stream. And her backhand's right out of a sex stream. And that's the best messy bone I'd ever seen in the world. My papa ping pong girl. 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 To sing these kinds of songs. Whoa. Bro. Sega. Chockish.
Oh. You guys, like, during that song, I made up the ping pong dance.
You did. I was Snapchatting it. It was so good.
Oh my God.
I wasn't. I wish. I was looking at the lyrics.
I was like, oh no, one of my shenanigans have been recorded.
I wish. No.
I think my face instantly turned red when you said you were recording.
Went blank. You're like, oh no.
Oh shit.
It's okay. I love that that song is from the perspective of Rebecca.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's in her head imagining what Josh will say when how on. He'll feel when he sees her playing ping pong.
Yeah. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, like everything about that is perfect. Like this is a clueless girl she's pretty clueless when it comes to like love and just in interpersonal relationships in general, but especially with boys. And then so it's like this early 2000s
mm-hmm. like pop punk
genre.
This was like Bowling very Stacy's mom mm-hmm. Bowling for Soup 1985.
Like
yeah.
This girl's got it going on song, but
yes.
It's like
I loved those songs.
It's her perspective of the male gaze.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like the way men actually look at women, but like the scummy way she just assumes they look at women.
Yeah.
So it's like layered on so many levels. And I think my favorite line is probably like how he gets to be the pursuer. Like, she's so aloof. She's so independent. That's cool because I get to pursue her. And that's like the mental trap I've been in so many times since I was like 14.
Yeah.
Like so. You have to be that?
Yeah. Or, yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Like now I get her character again because I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that also that way of thinking has never worked out.
No.
Like,
no. I've always tried for, like, 2 seconds where I'm just like, I'm not going to pursue. I'm gonna just sit back here and not do anything. And then, like, 2 seconds later, I'm like, no, I can't. I'm bored.
See, I will do that. I will, like, not pursue, not give any indication that I like a person, be, like, too cool for a relationship.
Dang!
He didn't even know I liked him.
And then he has no idea.
You're totally, like, work? C-3PO Buddha over here.
Yeah.
You know.
How could he not see this?
You guys.
How could I not see this coming myself?
Another one of the lines that I really like mm-hmm. is ping pong shows that she has control of her body, but it doesn't threaten my masculinity like yeah. basketball or hockey.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm so glad that she can do sports, but only the ones that are just little sports, not the big sports.
Not the big ones. Not the scary contact sports.
Oh my goodness.
Even though she will handcuff me. Because
she'll
she
handcuff
did.
Me, but it's she okay because she's not in the WWE or anything, so we're okay.
She's got to be careful not to make him insecure about yeah. whether he could, like, you know.
That's right.
She didn't handcuff him too tight.
You know.
Although
he had red marks.
Yeah.
On his
yeah. Rule of women. Don't you know the rule of women, right? Like, if you're going to date a guy, be you, and then subtract, like, 25 points. And then, then you can find... Right? That's what all the songs yeah. gotta talk about.
Pretty much.
Like, don't show your full self. Make sure that you're not going to, like...
Because if you're too cool...
Don't be too cool.
You can't.
Remember, guys, we learned all we need to know in 1949.
Oh, we did. Well, even, like, the stuff, too, that she's, like, hoping, like... The song's all about how independent she is, but, like, the stuff she's dreaming for him to say is, like, she's so indifferent, it makes me want a tangible commitment. She and I should give a 30-year mortgage yeah. a whirl and then split a Costco card.
Ping pong girl.
It was, like, those two things, like...
Not to mention, 30-year mortgage, come on. You should try to get a 15 if you can.
She's so bad with money. She could probably buy Cat, like, a house with Cat, or she could have before all her bad decisions. She could have bought a house for cash.
That's true.
Yeah.
But and now she can't. She would have just gotten the mortgage just to be in there with Josh
she
for 30 years.
Can't get a loan. She probably had to call, like, file for bankruptcy. That was the only way she's able to get all this money back.
Maybe.
I don't
she
know.
She just got paid. I don't know.
I don't know finances.
I don't know what it's like to be
I know
rich.
Enough to pretend like I know.
Oh,
Rebecca.
And then there's, like, they're in the club. They, like, transfer from that song into the ping pong club.
Yeah.
And she's so bad.
Was it just, like, the dream?
No.
No?
No.
She's counting out loud as she hits the ball. It's so good.
Like, it's a rehearsed dance that she's trying to get through
well,
or something.
Well, no, like, she's got to play it back out loud, the individual steps, because...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she won't remember them.
Yeah.
How to actually hit.
And you guys, let's not forget the matching red outfits,
mm-hmm.
shorts, and I believe polo shirts.
Yeah, yep. So because
such
of course she brought her 11-year-old coach
to
the
ping
pong bar.
Of course she did. How else is that ball going to stay on the table?
She brings so many children to so many bars.
All she does!
Yes, she really does.
You know what? Everyone has to have a dream in life, and her dream is just to...
Oh...
Raise the next generation in a way where they know what the inside of a bar looks like
really,
before
it's just,
they get to high school.
That's her Aww. Peer group. Like that's who she relates to.
Hey, kids are really
she
cool.
doesn't see the distinction, but you know.
You buy them like markers and paper and they're happy.
They are.
No, they're not.
No, they're
the
not.
The new generation.
Okay, a phone and a Amazon.
Oh, she could do that, yeah. Don't look at what I bought.
Don't look it up.
We don't know how to hide it.
If you, as a child, could figure this out for me, this would be great.
If you know, at Crazy X Pod. Yes.
I'll have my little brother just started high school today, so I'll ask him.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you take him to a bar yet? Because he started high school. He's supposed to go to a bar before high school.
He's, yeah.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah. I mean, not with
face
me.
Face is covered.
Not with you.
No,
oh, so he's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're wrecking your filial duties.
He's, what? I'm, what?
Filial.
Family, my, oh, family. Filial, okay, or familial?
You know what? I read filial. It before I ever I know, said it, okay, so I have filial reading version.
Yeah, okay, yes.
You know, like when you read words and you have your own pronunciation? Neil Gaiman for a long time was Neil Gaiman to me, because that's how I read it.
Yeah.
And that's now like I the yoga retrain company. Myself. Oh, but Gaiman? Yeah, like Gaia, because he's my world.
Aww.
We have the same birthday.
That's cool.
Whoa. Yeah,
that's
super it's cool. Really cool.
Nice.
Scorpios.
Jim has the same birthday as Paula.
As Paula?
The actor that plays Paula.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, we haven't learned Paula's birthday. I mean, we learned Trent's birthday, May 9th. I don't know anybody else's because it hasn't been on their Facebook profile.
They need fake Facebook profiles for all these characters so we can stalk them. Because real people aren't good enough for me. I need to look at fake people's Instagrams and Facebooks.
Dear Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Please make fake Facebook profiles for all of your characters.
It'd be so interactive and fun.
Sincerely, Crazy X Pod. Smiley face, heart emoji, smiley face.
We also get like a line. Was it a Hector line or a White Josh line where he's just like, I can't believe all my friends are obsessed with this girl.
Oh, it's Hector. Yeah.
That's even better than White Josh. Just like, because, it's Hector.
So now they're at the ping pong bar, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't know where Greg is.
Yes. Right?
Greg's MIA. He was invited. And when it gets back to Rebecca and Josh, why did you invite him here?
Mm-hmm. I think it just comes back to Josh, because Josh is the only one that knows Greg. He exploded his feelings over Greg.
Yeah.
And so that just turns into... Hector and White Josh like yelling at Josh, telling him he's like dumb and he like screwed up, and there's a lot going on between this friend group.
What's going on?
White Josh's exact words were horny monster.
You horny monster, stay here.
Yes,
Jay,
you stay here, don't get involved.
Keep your clothes on.
There's like a line about how like when Greg says he's fine, that's exactly when he's not fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a lot of like
ever fine when they say fine. How are you fine? Yeah. No one. And not unless you're quoting Coneds. That's it. That's the only time you can use fine in a way that's not upsetting.
And this is the point where Rebecca calls White Josh a chipmunk.
Oh yes.
Yes. Which is great because like we had someone on Twitter mention chipmunk, and I hadn't seen the episode yet, and I was like, that's a cute name for him. I wonder where it comes from. La, 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 la. And now I know.
Episode 2 of season 2.
Which is called what?
Like 40 minutes in. It is called, I did write this down.
Oh, you did.
Because it's important. When will Josh see how cool I am? Going back to your thing about just how cool you are, knock 25% off.
That's right. Oh.
Yeah. He never will.
He only wants 3/4 of the pie cool.
He doesn't even want that. He wants like... I don't know what he wants.
He just wants the pie cutter in the pan. He doesn't want the pie at all.
That's so sad.
I know, but it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's a great way of explaining it. Just dump the pie. Give me your money in house.
But why?
Yeah. But why? I'm trying to be everything you could possibly want, and I learned how to give really good head, and you get to stay at my place for free, and I tried to pretend like I know ping pong, and I lied a bunch to you, but I did it very convincingly, and I'm so smart that when you start to think that I'm not what you want, then I can just spin you around and around and around until you get too dizzy to notice. The end.
Oh, so healthy.
Yeah, that's like... epitome of healthy relationship. I looked it up on Wikipedia. That's what it said.
It's that. Just all of that.
All of that. In that order.
Oh. It makes me so sad. But at least the next scene is Greg and Rebecca, who I still love. Yes. So the fact that we get to see them interact for the first time since the season ended is awesome. And she comes to the duck pond. She uses GPS technology, right, to track him down?
She asked Paula, and Paula bends the rules because the emergency.
Well, I don't think it was... No, I think she remembered seeing Paula do it earlier, so she went and did it herself this time.
This is the night Paula's letter of recommendation was due. And she just didn't bother.
Paula's at home having a discussion with Scott about how, like, Rebecca's not coming through for her, and Scott's actually like, she owes you, like, she should be doing this. And Paula's and Paula starts getting just like hitting herself over the head with all of her self-doubt. Maybe I don't deserve this dream. Maybe, you know, Rebecca doesn't owe me, you know, and Scott has to be her voice of reason. Like, hey, like, calm down. You deserve this. Yeah. He's actually supportive in this, like, you know, role. This new thing. Yeah, right.
It's cool, guys. I know.
But yeah,
I don't like him.
Well, I don't like Scott. I don't like him at all. Well, when I watched the season, I was like, well, you have not improved at all, sir. But
My theory about the Scott-Paula relationship is that it's what Rebecca and Josh would be if they got married.
I think you're right. And
so you'd always have Paula, who is just terribly unsatisfied with life, and then you'd have Scott, who's like, what do I do? I'm going to go sing in my choir thing.
Supportive and kind of happy, but like
not her.
Connected emotionally or intellectually. Yeah.
And sort of, like, useless.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, that's what I hate about Scott. He's just useless.
He is. He's like another kid.
Yes!
Pretty much.
But not as cute as a child. Like,
not at all.
He's kind of he's an ignorant simpleton kind of guy. Like,
yes!
I go to work, I take care of the house, and
what else am I supposed to do?
Which is why am I so forgiving of that?
I'm so forgiving.
Well, it might be fine if you don't have, like, two delinquent kids.
It would be fine if you didn't have any hopes, dreams, or intelligence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find out. So we find out in the scene that one of the kids pulled a knife on their aunt. Fun detail.
Fun. You know what? I feel like the child is understimulated as well.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you know what? I'm feeling the need for a little extra stimulation. Mm-hmm. Let me see what we have in the kitchen. Got any knives?
Act out.
Yeah.
Because my dad is dumb.
Because my dad is dumb. Yes.
He's the worst.
He's the worst. This is all Scott's fault.
But you do get to see a little bit of sweet growth from him when he starts to support her. Like, no, this dream's not stupid. You have to go after this. This is something that, you know, and that's, again,
I refuse to
give
him
that. They do such a good job.
I mean, honestly, you should. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't excuse the other shitty qualities that he's got about him, they do a very good job at giving every character some bit of growth here and there, and have them defeat expectations or mature a little bit here and there.
I will acknowledge his growth.
And then, of course, take like 10 steps back.
Yeah.
What's that?
Do you think Josh matures? Does he ever grow?
Not yet. Not since do we ever see it? No.
Well, hang on. A couple episodes ago, his changes are so small and incremental. Like, his growth was like he had a day where he like encountered negative feelings, and
growth.
Like, that was growth for him because he actually acknowledged some other emotional state. Then everything's good. I don't pay attention to that
for
stuff.
Him is small and like laughable, but when Greg has like his little encounter with feelings,
it's beautiful.
It is beautiful, and it should be because he's Greg.
Whoa, feelings.
The people I give like passes to, this is ridiculous. Like,
let's
like,
hear it. Who gets the passes?
Well, I was giving Scott a pass, and like,
but why?
I don't know. But like, something in me is like ingrained where I'm like, he tried a little bit, so he's fine.
I mean, I think that's
stupid.
That is stupid.
The real way.
All right, plenty of people can try a little bit. That's like putting one slice of pie on a tin, slapping it down, mixing it around, and say, I made pie.
Yeah. Reheating it from taking it from the freezer to the oven.
I'm not even saying that one, the kind that you thaw. A cooked pie. You cut a slice out, you put it in a tin, you swoosh it around, and you say that you made pie.
All
you have are like messy pieces.
Yeah, so I gave him a pass for no reason. And yet I was so critical of Greg for just like admitting a feeling and punching a wall.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, that was something, that was whatever. I don't know. Like, why
because Greg seems like he's completely dead inside. So when you finally see him, like, do anything, like, you're like, oh my God, you actually are human. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah. So. Could be it.
Oh man.
They've all just, like, they're all so screwed up, like, at such a basic young level. Like, cause they're all going through stuff people go through at like 15. So.
I think we all go through it forever. I mean, like, we do. It's on perpetual, like, repeat.
I guess it happens for different people at different times, depending on what kind of traits you exhibit.
Hey guys, I had two friends, Pete and Repeat. Pete died. Who was left? No one? Okay.
I was drinking a beer, so I couldn't say Repeat.
Sorry, I had to do it. Well, it had to be done.
Interesting, too, because like half the cast are narcissists, and then the other half are codependent.
Yes! Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like they all complement one another in this really ugly, strange, and beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. Yes! That's a beautiful way of describing it.
Yeah.
Nothing goes well with the codependent unless a narcissist, right?
Yep.
And never by again. Well, I mean really bad.
Yeah, it's always really bad. That's why Paul's weaning herself off of Rebecca right now.
Yes! She actually is thinking, oh my goodness, I want to get healthy.
Mm-hmm. Which, like, you just wonder how long will this last, like, knowing ahead into season three. You know, it's like, I can't imagine season three, she's going to be a healthy Paula.
Mm.
She's going to be crazy Paula.
Oh, they're all going to be less in season three. Yeah.
Which is going to be fun, like, really great.
Yeah,
but
we have a nice little roller coaster, right? I'm enjoying the crazy. I'm going to try to get healthy. Nope, back to the crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's also just like real life in that way. It's like,
yeah.
It takes, like, one thing to, like, be like, okay, I'm out. Like,
it's so easy.
I'm out on self-growth.
It's so easy to fall off the emotional wagon, right? Mm-hmm. You're just like, I'm going to be all healthy emotionally. And then, like, one day just has to go bad, right? Or a few of them. Like, it might chip away a little bit. And then all of a sudden you're like, screw all that. I'm going to go back to being angsty and upset and unhealthy.
I was so bummed out today because I tried. This is like a straight up Rebecca move. Like, I tried to order Sunbasket so I could do Whole30 so I could be healthy. And
what's Sunbasket?
It is like a meal delivery service.
Oh,
so they like
okay.
Pack a bunch of food in a box and they send it to your house and you have no excuses not to eat healthy. And it's overpriced
except
and
that
it's
you have free will
stupid.
To go anywhere else.
Yeah.
Except for that. Don't let that food rot.
But so I did this and I was like, I'm locked in. This is going to be great. And they sent it to my billing address, not my shipping address. Aww. So it just doesn't show up. And I, like, waited till like, 3 o'clock, and I'm super hungry. And then my mom gives me a call, and she's like, there's food here. What did you do? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know what I did. And then I was like, okay.
And did you order a vibrator? What?
Damn, that billing address.
Just all this weird stuff keeps coming to the house.
I didn't know what the package was, so I opened it. Normally I wouldn't open your packages, honey, but this time I was just confused.
It was boring and it smelled really good. I don't know.
I see that lubricant too. Good for you for being healthy.
Yep. It's organic lubricant. No, so it's just like that one thing, it, like, it's shipping to the wrong address. It's like, I'm done. I'm not healthy anymore. I can't I can't get anything.
The world's against me.
Yes.
Everything's horrible. But I don't know.
It's just totally true. All it takes is something like that.
I mean, that's why it's so interesting, entertaining to watch the show, is because you can relate to so many of those experiences of life, you know.
It's heightened, but it's honest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they hit those, like, patterns, like, so well. Like, just the minute someone's doing really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's like, a human slip up, or there's, you know, some flaw, or, you know, bit of human fallibility slips in. And
who left this monkey wrench here? Mm-hmm.
Or even, like, this last episode where, like, Rebecca is not doing well. She's like being crazy narcissist and horrible to all her friends. And then just at the moment, you're just like, I can't deal with this anymore. I don't want to pay attention anymore. I'm done. She meets up with Greg, and Greg's all enlightened and sober. And it kind of hits her emotionally, and she kind of admits, like, he says, like, a line, like, you need to be with someone who treats you well. And it hits her, and she, like, that resonates. So then she has, like, she comes back to earth a little tiny bit.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that was perfect, because I was really, really hating her for, like, 2 full episodes of this first season. And then, like, oh, now I like her again. And that's, like, the unhealthy patterns, like, everyone lives in every single day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Greg, he's so cute.
Yes.
That's all I wanted to say.
It's hard watching him, because I relate too closely to a lot of the things that he's going through.
Did you once look like a beetle, too?
Actually, I had a shorter haircut like that. But no, a Beatle.
He looks like the Beatles.
Okay, yeah. I had that haircut when I was younger. Yeah, I did. And I was a drunk when I was younger. And
nice.
Went through a lot of those same experiences. A lot of the stuff that he describes in that is very, very, unfortunately, accurate for for people. So it's depicted very well. And it's promising to see them write it the way that they do.
Yeah.
And him get through it like he does. And so those moments of him feeling emotions and stuff like that are very poignant for somebody who, experiences that. Or him taking on the responsibility of getting the donuts, and the guys who've been in AA for a while being like, I don't know if he can handle it.
Yeah.
And just the acknowledgement that taking on responsibility when you're coming out of something like that
is
a huge thing. Those are just, it's very, very smart the way that they depict all of that, So I don't know. It's really cool to watch, I guess. And at times hard.
Yeah, of course.
Because you don't want to watch it and be like, oh my God, people live that. Oh, I remember that.
That's what the show is.
That's why I didn't go to my
10-year
high school reunion, because I didn't want to have to recount all the shit from my youth.
But this show is like getting punched in the arm at, I don't know. You just won a surprise cruise and they punch you in the arm. You're just oh man, this is great. And then, it hurts a little bit because this is life.
Could you imagine how boring all of it would be if it was all perfect?
You wouldn't want it to be perfect.
If we were perfect or they were perfect, if it wasn't watching human behavior with human flaws.
But it's so honest. Normally a sitcom isn't this honest.
And that's what makes it so much better. That's what makes you look at all those sitcoms when you're younger like, God, those were shit.
They were. With the cue the music that a lesson's just about to happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember Full House was a big one?
At the end.
Oh, yeah.
When whatever the lesson was going to be, they'd cue that special music. Mm-hmm. And then you'd be like, oh, my lesson's coming.
It'd just be this, this direct exposition that had no, base in reality to it or no, depth behind it.
Yeah, it'd be missing a little bit of the depth. It'd be kind of we're going to give the lesson, but we're going to give it you're in a D.A.R.E. program.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, though, sometimes I think the show needs a version for younger viewers that has those lessons and those music cues, because it's so good and smart, but I feel like it just a lot of it goes over people's heads.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like you need the version that's annotated for for people who aren't quite there yet, just so they don't make these mistakes. Not that you can stop
anyone
from.
You guys will make
it
on our kayak. We'll just sit here on the kayak. We'll recreate all the episodes on this table.
Add the special music in.
I'll be in charge of special music. I'll download it onto my phone.
Trying to even think, what would the special moment of this episode? I mean, they kind of have it, though. This one does end. Rebecca comes home, and she does confront Josh.
Yeah.
I deserve to be with someone nice, or who treats me well.
Pays attention to me.
And then Greg goes to his meeting, and he brings the donuts, and he brings, the giant dinosaur donut. But I like what, what's his name?
Guardrail.
Thanks, guardrail. I wanted to say throttle, and I was like, oh, not you. But I like what guardrail said, where he was like, you came, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah. He's like,
and so that's a very
next
AA
time,
thing.
Just bring the donuts we're used to. Yeah. I tell you what, next time, just show up.
Yes.
He gives them that one, and that's it. That's all that's required.
Yeah.
And I like how with those recovering addicts, it's change is so delicate.
Yes.
They need just those basic donuts. Don't flip it out. Don't make it any more difficult than it's got to be.
Don't get the most expensive
donuts. We're all in a very vulnerable and risky spot right now as is. Just bring the stupid donuts.
We like our routine.
Yeah.
We can't deal with deciding who gets the dinosaur donut. Yeah.
I mean,
we'll all
no one
end
can.
Up at a bar trying to figure out.
Let's eat this so before anyone else finds it. You get the bar.
Too much choice. God, the drinky will figure it
out
for me.
That's one thing I do appreciate or respect about drug recovery versus just regular mental health stuff. Because regular mental health stuff, I mean, not that I've done or not that I'm a professional or whatever, but on the amateur end of that is people just being change is good, self-care. Self-care just came into the vocabulary for mental health. But before it was always be happy, take care of yourself, change. If something's not working, change it. Whereas recovery from drugs always seems a little more slow and long term.
They need to like reteach you how to balance your life.
Right? Yeah. Like just showing up is fine. Like whereas like I feel like with a lot of mental health stuff, it almost pushes further.
Yeah, and I feel like that can be really disheartening. I think it mm-hmm. should be, at least in the beginning, maybe a little bit more of just, you know, showing up is the best thing.
Yeah, and there's a lot more of that online too with like blogs talking about, there's like a PDF going around like for self-care, which I love to make fun of self-care. I think it's the funniest thing that like all you have to do is get out of bed in the morning. Like I think that's hilarious, especially when like people like connect it with like politics.
Yeah.
But also it's kind of true. But like, I was sometimes gonna say, that's the all thing you need.
It comes from a very honest place. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, we can twist it and we can make it into something funky or funny. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things that it is. It's again like the just show up, wake mm-hmm. up. Get out yeah. of bed. Here's
Are you
some
hungry?
Small.
Eat food. Are you thirsty? Drink water. Like, take care of all your basic needs before you move on to the bigger stuff.
That's yeah. actually, I mean, that to some people, that's a hard learned lesson. Of course. Still in the middle of that.
Oh, yeah. I can't yeah.
so unbalanced. And
if
like,
I wasn't so hungry today, I probably wouldn't have been so sad. Like, yeah. that is a stupid lesson yeah. to learn yeah. as an adult. Like, if
I don't
just
take care of my
breakfast.
Natural base needs mm-hmm. and I feel like hell, that's weird.
That's
I don't
so weird. Why does that work that way? Huh.
Because I have everything else on my mind that I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. I'm not a success in life right now. I can't eat.
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
Like anxiety, especially like, oh my God, like why? Like, why am I such a screw up?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't eat. That's why.
Yeah. And I think they're more and more, unfortunately, like programming kids to be stuck in this mindset. My stepdad's a third grade teacher, and we were just talking like a few days ago about how horrible it is for elementary kids. He said a lot of them, like kids in his classroom, they won't take bathroom breaks, like just regular scheduled bathroom breaks, because they're so immersed in everything that they're doing and they feel so much pressure to do these things that taking the time away like freaks them out. They get too anxious. Mm-hmm. That was
actually me in elementary school. I never took bathroom breaks. I like went the whole day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because so it was one because I was. I was a very anxious child, smiley but anxious my entire life. But it'd be one of those things where I'm like, I can't, I'll miss something. And if I miss something, then I'm gonna fail. And if I fail, then my life's gonna be over. And if my life's gonna be over, well then I'm gonna have to just be a gypsy somewhere.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I don't even know how to do any of the things that gypsies do. Where am I going to learn? Is there a book for that? Probably not, because it's my podunk town. And you know what they have in my podunk town? They don't talk about anything like that.
I better learn to dye scarves.
I better not go to the bathroom, because that's how all the problems start.
It is. I remember telling my mom once recently, within the last few years, like what's the worst that could happen to me? And she's like, well, you'll end up homeless or whatever. And I was like, so what? If I end up homeless, then I'll make money and there's always another job. There's always another place to live. Like, there's always a cheaper place. There's always, like, something. Like,
this is supposed to go the other way around. This is supposed to be like, her, like, hey, what's the worst that's going to happen? Like,
yeah,
you'll be all right. Instead,
I was like, the worst that could happen is I'll become homeless. Like, I'll become so depressed I lose my job and I become homeless. Yeah. But then I'll always find another. There's always more work. Like, even if it's crappy work or there's something or it's begging on the street, you can always build your way back up. People build their way back up. Like, and of course it's hard and difficult and... But, like, it doesn't destroy people. I mean, it does destroy people.
Yeah.
It's very flippant to say it doesn't destroy people. But, like,
but
yeah,
it
the worst
destroy
that could,
you.
Yeah, like, the worst that could happen is, you know, the worst. And then hopefully you move up from it. Or you get stuck in it forever. I don't know.
That's beautiful.
But that's a good pep talk to have with your mom.
Yeah, that's a good way to pep up your mom.
Like, yes, I'll be homeless. It's fine.
It's okay, Mom. I'm resourceful.
It's great.
I don't
It'll
have to
fun.
Subtract 25% from my personality. I got all of it. And
I'll use it all for this. In the event that I become homeless, I'll use all 100% of me.
That's right.
To see what happens.
Maybe I even banked a little. Maybe I'll get up to 110%. Who knows, Ma?
Maybe. Never know.
Can you bank personality?
Can you? Can you save it?
Can you just save
it for
later?
That's what I do.
Like your last stick of chewing gum. Just hide it somewhere.
Just hide it for the moments that matter.
The moments that matter.
Oh, I think I felt like such a good discussion of those two episodes.
Yeah, that was
awesome.
Really good.
You guys are great.
You guys are great.
I'm just going to tell you guys are awesome.
Aww.
Thank you.
Did we miss anything that anyone's like dying?
I think we missed the group hug.
I like group hug. We can do that once we log off.
Okay.
Okay, so wait. So the episode ends with... All right, so Josh is on his couch playing video games, and mm-hmm. Rebecca finally says, you know what, Josh? I want to spend time with you. She kind of comes clean. Yeah. Like, she finally says exactly what's on her mind.
And he's like, you love video games. And she's like, no, I don't.
I told you that because I want to spend time with you.
She comes out because he's like... You know, you pretended you're a ping pong champion. What's up with that?
Oh, yeah, he's confronting her like she did something wrong.
And she's like,
I wanted to
spend time with you.
Yeah.
I feel like she kind of invited that, too. She could give him the okay to, like, make fun of her. And then she's like, no.
She did, you're right. Not okay. Like, because that's their routine. That's their relationship. And mm-hmm. she's been subconsciously, like,
and
you know,
to me,
approving
what I see is going back to, I think, conversation from a few minutes ago is, like, their incompatibilities are showing. Like, she's going out of her way to try to force some compatibility that isn't necessarily there. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to find a common interest in something with somebody she likes. But that person's not being at all, like, you know, receptive to it. And he's not going out of his way to try to find any kind of common interest with, you know, things that she enjoys.
He's showing that he really just wants to be single right now.
Yeah. Or I just,
which is totally fine.
He's never done
that. And he's not acknowledging it. Yeah. And he doesn't have the money to live on his own because he got an apartment.
He wants to be housed and laid, and that's it.
Yeah.
Like, housed and laid, and the rest of the time I'm on my own.
It's the,
can I have the grandmother, what is it, the mother-in-law suite?
Aw. Yeah.
I'll say, just come over.
The my favorite line from BoJack Horseman, which is another show I adore, is just BoJack comes out and he's like, why can't I have a sex mommy that knows her boundaries?
Oh my God.
And that is 100% Josh's character's same hang up.
Yeah, I think what's striking about this is he's always been dumb, but in the first season he was never mean.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
In these two episodes, he is very unkind and callous and indifferent.
Well, it's probably a frustration in dealing with like that growth that is coming in him, where he's encountering levels of responsibility that he's never encountered before, and so it's creating a frustration in him, and like you know, forcing some kind of
growth. We're starting to see maybe a little bit why Valencia was getting so upset. Like we see Valencia as I'm liking her better.
Yeah.
All right. But. Scott's still a tool bag, but Valencia's better. But Valencia, we always see her as, like, this very, like, annoyed person. But when you see these behaviors that Josh has, you have to assume that he did the same thing to Valencia. And you're like, it starts to make sense. You were actually getting poisoned by your relationship.
Yeah.
15
years of low-dose poison. It's like she had arsenic every single day in small doses. Not enough to kill her, but enough to make her hair fall out.
Some Munchausen syndrome stuff.
That's right! Oh, he put some Lysol in her soup.
He just likes poisoning the people he loves.
Oh, yes.
So well, they you love know. Him.
That's right. What is it? If you can't be with the one you love, poison the one you're with.
Oh, that's so good. Also, the thing, too, that we're really absent of is just, like, his breakup. Like, it's just not acknowledged that he went through a breakup with someone from 15 years.
Yes,
like,
that's a big deal.
That should be affecting him in a way that we're not seeing.
That growth you think is happening, I think it's the resistance of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of the change and the growth. Sense. And that's why, like,
it's forcing itself upon him and he's reluctant to encounter it. And so
he's just shutting it down.
Yeah.
Shut it down.
Nice. Let's shut down this episode, guys. So we will be back next week with two more episodes. Until then, recap of voices. This is Moosh.
Jim.
Angela.
Shannon.
I don't know why I point. We could just go around the room.
I like that you point. It lets me know where I stand.
See, it's from the theme song. That's what that's from.
I don't know that I'm allowed to talk until you point.
That's right.
This whole time I've been directing people like a
otherwise we're going to talk at the same time, and that's anarchy.
Can't have that.
Can't have that.
Well, we'll see you guys in a week.
We love you.